Hello, Denton ISD, and welcome to the next episode of the Project School Leadership Podcast. I am your host, broadcasting live from Texas Women's University. I am Dr. Jerry Burkett, and I want to welcome you back to our podcast series that we've been working on since the beginning of the semester. And I just want to say again, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this podcast project. And for anyone else that's been listening, I appreciate you tuning in. For today, I want to talk a little bit about this concept called shared leadership. Now, the shared leadership concept is very common in higher education, actually. The concept of what we call in higher education, we call it the shared governance. And basically, and this is, you know, probably not a foreign concept to you. You've covered this in your master's program for sure. Or if you've had a doctoral program or working towards a doctoral program, it's certainly a part of the leadership development that you've had. But very simply put, shared leadership is rooted in this belief that effective leadership, good leaders, it's not the sole responsibility of that one single individual. It's actually a collaborative effort. It recognizes that everybody that's on a team, every team member has a unique skill set. They have unique perspectives, and they have unique experiences. And all of those things combined contribute to the overall success of the organization. And so when you have, you know, a place like college campus, university campus, place that is filled with people who have doctorates, and everyone has expertise in their individual area, everyone is accomplished and has this great research background, publishing background, teaching background. And so when you bring all those minds together, it's a shared collaborative effort. It's not a situation where everyone is brilliant. It's everyone's brilliance. You bring together all this brilliance and everyone wants to contribute. Everyone wants to be part of the ultimate decision making. Now, but how does that work when you have, a leadership structure, you have organizational structure, you have ultimately the buck does stop with an ultimate leader. In our world, we have department chairs and we have deans and we have provost and vice presidents and so on. So there is an organizational structure in higher education, and individuals are empowered to make decisions all the time, every day. But they don't often happen without contributions of shared governments, shared leadership, input. The concept's not much different in K-12, in principal leadership. You as a principal are empowered with making decisions, but you also have a collective around you of professional, certified, degreed individuals who have experience and have something to say of value to whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish for your organization. Now, ultimately, principals, you're empowered to make small decisions on your own. You're trained to do that. You've gone through a master's program and certification. So sometimes small decisions rest to you to decide on your own, and you might collaborate with other administrators. But sometimes larger decisions, whether it's your data analysis or testing or large organizational programming for your school, might require a multitude of minds to come together. Now, you might be listening to this going, why are we covering shared leadership? This is what we do every day. This has been ingrained in me. This is part of my leadership that I bring to my campus. I would say to you, yeah, absolutely. But it wouldn't shock you to learn that not everybody employs these techniques for their school. Some people, a lot of people, and many principals that I even have worked with and know, they still empower that top-down approach, that my way or the highway approach, that, you know, I worked hard to get to this position and my decision is law and what I decide goes. And there's still a lot of people that operate that way. What I would say to that person is you might find yourself effective in the short term. You might find that your decisions might carry some weight initially, in the beginning, but ultimately, you're not going to hold an entire organization together. In fact, you know, once you leave, because you're likely the ambitious type, you're going to ultimately, the organization is likely going to fall apart because you didn't plant the seed. You didn't grow the next individual. There are five qualities of shared leadership. In order to build this concept for your campus, there are a few things you have to keep in mind. And the first one is that it requires significant trust and respect for the people around you. And obviously that takes time to develop. you may not initially have that trust and respect. And that takes, it literally takes time, it takes weeks to develop a trust and respect with people. Now, you might ultimately, you know, dive into a little bit of respect. You know, you have a degree, I have a degree, you have experience, I have experience, and so on. So you might have some initial respect in the beginning, but the trust, that's going to take some time to develop. And that comes with building relationships, connectivity, working together, people following through. So trust and respect, you know, comes with time. And this is why, and I know you know this, but you've seen how people hire folks that they know. They bring in individuals that they've worked with in the past, and you know, we may or may not like seeing that happen in certain organizations. You know, people bringing in relatives or who they were. We call that nepotism, you know, bringing in people that they know they've worked with before. But a lot of that has to do with that trust factor and that respect factor. And frankly, it's a lot easier to bring in someone that you know and you've worked in before, so you don't have to spend a lot of time building that trust. But over time, I mean, ultimately, they had to go through that process too with those individuals. So I encourage you to think about what that looks like for you, to build that significant trust and rapport and respect with the people that you have in that inner circle of shared leadership. The next one then is kind of obvious in that same vein. It's hiring the right people. Every organization, whether it's a school or a higher ed or a business, it thrives on having the right people in place, having the right individuals to serve the organization, and hiring often falls to you. And you might work in a district where the hiring process is required by committee, is required by shared leadership, but then there are some principals who are the sole decision makers when it comes to hiring. But you've got to be good at hiring people. Principals and folks that I've worked for both. Some who are really good at bringing in high-quality individuals who are self-manageable and driven and understand the organization and know the work that needs to be done and will achieve greatness because they are just great individuals. And I've worked in some places where, yeah, y'all could really clean house here. There are some people who are coasting, floating along. They don't belong here. It's clear they're just here for one singular thing, and maybe that's a paycheck, maybe that's to retire, whatever it is. Our calling is different. In education, we are required to do something more in our work, and it takes a special individual to be that person to answer that call. So a principal's responsibility is to hire the right people, and you got to know what kind of person you want to fulfill the goals and mission and vision of your school. The third part is probably the most hard for people, especially if you're one of those top-down principals, but it's empowerment. With that trust and respect is empowering people to do the job you expect them to do. I've done research on this. Nobody, especially in K-12, wants to be micromanaged. We're certified, we're degreed, we're professionals. We know the work that needs to be done. We want to be directed. We want to have an understanding of where we're going. But once we know where we're going, you need to let us do our work. You need to empower us by giving us the tools, the resources, the time to get out there and do the work that needs to be done. And a lot of people need to be trusted and empowered to go do that work because they know what they're doing, especially if you've hired the right people. You can see how all these things connect. So once you've empowered that individual, now it's going to be up to you to follow through, set benchmarks, make sure that they're doing the things that you asked them to do. And if they're not, then obviously back off on that empowerment a little bit. But otherwise, you know, trust but verify, but certainly follow through. Inspect the things that you expect. But people want to be empowered. The next is to take that collaborative approach. And to do that, of course, great leaders who are at K-12 positions or beyond, they're going to ask questions. And they're going to be vulnerable in knowing that you don't know everything. And the reason you don't know everything is because how could you? Look, my first job as a principal, I was at an elementary campus. It was bilingual. It was low income. And I didn't even have much of an elementary background at that point. And here I am supposed to expected to learn, you know, a pre-K through 5 curriculum, 6 different subjects, and bilingual. I mean, you're just not going to know everything. But you do know how to delegate. You know how to empower people. You know how to ask questions. You know how to put people in the right place to get the work done that needs to be done. So when the time comes, you ask those questions and you trust that the people that are doing the work for you are doing a great job. But it has to be a collaborative approach. You're going to learn as much from them as they're going to learn from you. So whenever a problem needs to be solved, or there's an issue on campus, or there's a project you're moving forward, you have to take a collaborative approach and trust the individuals that come to you with their expertise and their experience to help get that job done. That's true collaboration. The last thing is continuous learning. And what I mean by that is, as I mentioned earlier about principals needing to set those benchmarks, that you have to be able to measure your success incrementally and learn from your mistakes and learn from your successes. Because once you accomplish the goals that you're seeking to accomplish, your work is actually not done. There's still more to do. But you not only continuously learning from all of these things that we've talked about, putting all of these things in place, but you're also learning from one another. This is the most critical part of most lesson plans that we actually don't do and don't do very well. And that's the enrichment and reflection piece of the lesson plan. What did we learn? Was it successful? What could we do differently? How can we be better? Great leaders are going to ask those questions. What can we do differently? How can we be better? Whether you accomplished your goal or you didn't accomplish your goal. And getting that feedback from the people that you work with is absolutely critical. You can't be the only one reflecting on this. This is also a great place for you to be vulnerable. Asking the people that are around you, what can I do better? How can I serve you better? What can I do for you so that you can get to the next step in your career, the next place that you want to go? Because as a leader, that's your responsibility. Whether you like it or not, you've got to plant the seed for the next generation so that when you leave, the success of the campus doesn't fall apart because you're gone. You've left behind a legacy that can continue to serve. That's the point of leadership. That's the point of doing the work that we do in K-12. So continuously learning, not only for yourself, but for the people in your organization, that's what's going to make you more successful as you press forward. So for shared leadership, those five qualities: trust and respect, hiring the right people, empowerment, taking a collaborative approach, and continuous learning. So that is our show for today. I appreciate everyone listening, being part of it. Very brief show today, but practice these concepts. Consider them. Be thinking about them as you press forward. And with that, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and we'll see you soon.